All right, beautiful people, PA here on this Monday afternoon. I hope you're having a great day. Coming up in a second, we're going to be talking to our guest for the day, Magnificent Brothers, doing some great things in the community. We're talking about Black mental health in the Black community in a few seconds. Over on the website, got the story, breaking news out of Lansing. Attorney General Dana Lance Nassar filed charges against the Michigan State Police trooper in regards to the death of Samuel Sterling, 25, of Kentwood. The state trooper, Brian Keeley, 50 years old, of Grand Rapids, was charged with one count murder, second degree, a life offense, or alternative, one count of involuntary manslaughter, a 15-year felony. Attorney General Daniel Nassar said the following in a comprehensive review of evidence: the department believes that the Detective Sergeant Keeley actions that day were legally grossly negligent and created a very high risk of death or great bodily harm, which could have otherwise been prevented. We know a lot of protests have been going on, a lot of outrage in regards to the death of the victim. And of course, the video, people have seen the video, how it went down. So that is big news as of right now. Over the weekend, there was a grassroots event dealing with mental health, particularly in the Black community, put on by one of the kings from this community. I've been knowing this brother for a long time. He performed in our talent show way back in the day and stole the audience heart as a baby performing on stage. And now he's a grown man working in the mental health field. We want to welcome to the show David Davis Jr. How you doing, King?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me, Pierre. I appreciate that intro.
Oh, that's real. That's real, man. I saw you. The elevation is real, man. Like,
it is. It's been a long time coming.
Wow. So talk about this weekend, the grassroots mental health conversation you had at a barbershop. You talking about thinking out of the box, man. That was on point.
Man, I'm going to try to keep it short and sweet, PA. It's been at least, I would say probably a year where I've had different interactions with men at the gym. My barber, I'm going to give a shout out to Rail for actually letting us take up his space and also, you know, participating in the conversation. So I do want to give him a shout out in this too. But I've had a lot of conversations with you know, different men in the community, at the gym, the barbershop, at the grocery store. And, you know, I think it was divine intervention because I put it off for a long time. And just because, you know, I was kind of, you know, in my own head and like, are people going to show up for me? Are people going to show up for the event? And I put it off. And then something, and the reason I say it was divine intervention because, you know, I journal and something told me to go forward with this event. And it was, I'm still trying to digest it, honestly, PA. I'm still trying to digest it. It was so powerful to have this group of men in this barbershop where we all, you know, have conversations with our barbers. And it's a sacred space for us as Black men. And so what better way to, you know, have that on display is in a barbershop. The room was filled with, it's hard to find the words. I'm so grateful for that opportunity and for people to actually show up and participate and be vulnerable and talk about their struggles.
Were people opening up?
People were opening up. You know, what I did was I went around, I started with introductions to have people kind of introduce themselves. And I'm a therapist by trade. So what I typically start with my clients and the kids I work with is an icebreaker. And so the icebreaker turned in, you know, what was one song that represents you in this moment right now? So they got people to open up and talk about songs that they can relate to. And that it did what it was supposed to do. It broke the ice and that got people to talking. It got people comfortable. And we had people talking about some deep, deep stuff. I shared my own background, some trauma. It was, it got deep, PA. It got really deep.
Wow. No, how long did this session last?
We had a meet and greet from 5 to 5:30. So I would say from at least 5:30 to 7:15. And I had to wrap it up just to be mindful of people's time. But I think we could have actually went a little longer than that. So it was a good solid, 2 hours, hour and a half.
Wow. Yep. The people that were there, have any of these people ever been to a professional mental health professional like yourself? Have they ever visited somewhere?
So a few people disclosed that they are receiving services. Probably out of the 20 people that were there, I would say 3 or 4 are actively in services, including myself. I'm actually in therapy myself, which, again, I think got people to open up. So I would say about 3 or 4 out of the 20. And I do think, to be completely honest, I do think we'll see more from this group because of how we talked about it and what therapy has done for us.
Wow. Now, you work at HealthWest.
I do.
HealthWest had zero to do with this event.
Yeah. So this is my own idea. Just started from, having conversations and, putting it together myself, my own agenda. I paid for the food out of pocket. I paid for, I gave out free haircuts. It was just an investment on my part just because I know what the return would be.
Wow. What made you say I'm going to invest into this on my own? You didn't reach out for donations. I don't see no corporate tags there. What made you do this?
I do think it was divine intervention, Pia. I do think it was a calling for me. And you and I talked on the phone earlier, and you kind of made a point where people listen to some the words that I say, and I'm still trying to grasp that. And so I went out on the limb, right? I went out on the limb and just said, I'm gonna see what happens. And I wanted to, just invest in it myself. And, again, I think the return is going to speak for itself.
Yeah. You got a lot of juice, man. You have a lot of influence. People look up to you and you've seen yourself. You had a packed barbershop. And this barbershop is at Lakes Mall?
It's at the Lakes Mall Premium Drip Barbershop. And the owner is Rael Gordon.
Wow. Christian Thumb says, cool. If you got any questions for Brother Dave, you can type your questions in. You type your comments in. Black men in therapy. Why is it so hard for us to seek help?
That's one of the questions. That's one of the main questions I asked, PA. And the response, the overwhelming response was, it's that stigma surrounding, getting services. We grew up. One person gave a great example of, if you have a daughter and a son, if they both get hurt, right? The chances of the daughter getting the it's okay and the soothing opposed to the son, just wipe it off and get back up and get going. So I think what I know for a fact is that it starts at a young age, and we're taught to be strong and sometimes nonchalant and let things roll off our shoulders. But what in turn that's hurting us. That's hurting us, and it's we need to get to the point where we're talking about these things.
Wow, Dave, you're in the health professional field. Is there a lot of people in this field that look like you? Are there a lot of blacks in the mental health field now?
You know what? I would say even on a deeper level, it's not a lot of black men. I get a lot of people requesting black male therapists, and there just aren't any. And ironically, though, there are, I know two for a fact, there are two more, born and raised in Muskegon. One of them was actually at the event, Julius Johnson. He's born and raised in Muskegon. And Flurry Jackson he couldn't make it, but he was really excited about this event. So I thought it would be super powerful to have all of us in there having those conversations. So. But yeah, it's not a lot of men of color and women of color in the field at all. I mean, in grad school, I was like one of three in my whole cohort. So,
wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What are some of the things that we are suppressing that we probably shouldn't suppress, probably should open up and talk about with a trusted source?
You know what? The first thing that pops out to me when you ask that question is trauma, right? In our community, in the inner city, you know, we have a lot of it's a lot of trauma. We lose people unexpectedly most of the time. So PTSD, anxiety, depression, and most people don't know what that looks like. And so one of the goals over the weekend was to attach names to those, right? Attach names to those feelings so we can begin to talk about it. And we suppressed that a lot. Even myself, before I even came into the field, I didn't know it, but I dealt with a lot of anxiety. I'm working through that now as an adult, but that's a lot of that was the consensus amongst all the brothers that was there over the weekend. Anxiety, depression, you know, losing people we love and not having healthy ways to deal with.
We got some online comments. Bonita Thurgill said, I applaud your efforts. My research focuses on invisible disabilities. Many of our college students suffer and will not self-identify to obtain services to assist them. Any comments on that?
Yes. That's another thing. I think it goes back to that stigma, especially in our community, you know, because I think we view it as being, I know I heard it growing up. That's crazy. Or, don't let them people in your business. And I think that has a lot to do with embarrassing too, right? Especially on a college campus where, you know, there's still some peer pressure there, right?
Right.
The chances of, you know, students seeking services is low because a lot of it's, you know, you're embarrassed to speak on.
Well, so we should be willing to talk about it.
Yes. And you know, even if it's, you know, one thing that was pointed out over the weekend was even if it starts with a friend, a close friend. I recommend speaking to a paid professional because we all have our own things. Right. And so if I go to talk to my friend, they may have their own stuff going on. They can't really listen. But, you know, if you go to a paid professional, you have that unbiased opinion, that neutral, the neutrality. Right. So just start and talk to someone, but that's talking to family and friends is a great start.
Jackie Ray said, we need way more Black men in the mental health field. Come join us. You are needed.
Thank you, Jackie. So I'm curious to where you're located. Are you in Muskegon? And
I know she's in Muskegon, and I think she does mediation.
Okay.
The company does mediation. We need to get Jackie on to talk about her services. So I believe it's in that field. But I'm sure you agree with that assessment that needs to be more. We got some stories we've been running on our website for about 3 weeks now dealing with mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to head over to one story. And you kind of mentioned this. Is there a connection between intergenerational trauma and Black mental health? Many individuals in the Black community experience mental health challenges that could be traced back to intergenerational trauma. Intergenerational trauma refers to the transmission of trauma from one generation to the next, often stemming from experiences of colonization, slavery, racism, and systematic oppression. I'm going to throw this at you. In the 80s and 90s, we had a problem with the crack cocaine in the Black neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that could be affecting the mental health of the Black community right now? We're dealing with second generation, third generation kids who did not know their mom or did not know their dad or they had to deal with both parents being on drugs. What are your thoughts on all that?
You know what? I've read, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Dr. Joy DeGruy. She was actually
interviewed her before.
Yes. So she has the book Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome, and that speaks directly to that, right? And she mentioned that epigenetics, those things are passed around through DNA, they found, research has shown. And so we are still dealing with the aftermath of the crack cocaine era, the mass incarceration, all of that stuff. We're still dealing with that right now. And which is why it's so important for us to get the word out. And, you know, talk about these things and try to get people to feel more comfortable and talking about how they're their dad was, you know, incarcerated, or their mom was incarcerated for most, you know, most of their life, because that affects you. Mm. That connection, and you know that I can't think of the word right now, but that attachment. That's what I mean.
Okay.
Attachment affects, you know, as you as an adult. So we're still unwinding. We're still working through those kinks.
And will that impact you in relationships?
100%. Now it doesn't have to. There's a lot of things that could deter that, you know, and one of them being like a supportive caregiver, right? If you've had someone that was really supportive of you when you went through your trauma, that is a protective factor. And when I say protective factor, that means, you know, that could alleviate some of the effect that trauma has on you.
Jackie Ray says, social worker by profession, but we do mediation, reentry, and restoration, restorative justice work. We need to connect for sure. Also,
I think Benita Thurgill passed before. So,
yeah, Benita Thurgill, my daughter's a therapist. I can ask her for a resource listing for Black male therapists and send it to PA. What do you suggest? Should Black men see a Black therapist, or no? Should we venture out? I mean, I know in your field, you don't want to be too biased, but I'll be honest with you. I've seen a couple of psychologists, and I've seen probably two or three in the past 30 years. Mm-hmm. I think I got the best results from the ones that look like me.
Yes,
I felt like I was able to keep it real with them.
Yeah, it's a different connection that we have, right? So I would say, for me personally, I think it's important for me to have someone who looks like me, who can, you know, who can connect with me. But me personally, right now, my therapist is a white man, but he's been really beneficial for me. So, but I do think we get more out of it because you know representation matters, not only for therapy, but also, you know, seeing, you know, working with a teenage boy who is interested in. You know, they tell you, I've heard a few times that I want to do therapy now that I've had a Black therapist. So not only therapeutically, but also, you know, helping kids kind of identify what they want to do in the helping profession.
I want to talk about sexual abuse and molestation, rape, mm-hmm. and the impact. Incest word. There are people that I went to school with. There were victims of incest, and they suppressed it.
Yes.
And it kind of triggered over to, you know, being addicted to drugs and that all, the whole thing. How important it is for us to tell someone to talk about these things when it happens?
You know, man, we can have a whole conversation on that, man. It impacts you so much that, like you mentioned, people turn to whatever they can to feel good about that, feel good about themselves, because it affects your self-esteem. It affects how you view the world, right? So, you know, you're more liable to experiment with unhealthy coping mechanisms. That's what I call it, right? Just to kind of escape, right? It's super important to really, first of all, you know, understand that it wasn't your fault. That's where it starts, I believe so. And acknowledging that, and then, you know, seeking help and really working through that. And one thing that I've, you know, I wanted to tell, you know, mention while I'm here is that, you know, I don't think we as people ever heal completely. I think it's an everlasting journey over our lifetime, right? I don't think anybody is completely healed, right? I think we just learn how to cope in healthy manners and, you know, work through those things as we kind of go through our life. So.
Wow. Dave Davis is here. Where should people go first to get the services? I know you guys have a Help West hotline at Help West.
Yep.
I should have had the number together off the top of my head. I don't have it right now.
Yes. And if I personally work for Health West. So, I supervise our school-based team. But if you are experiencing any crises or anything like that, you can always call our hotline and they will always send someone out. And from there, you can get into services. And there are other opportunities in Muskegon too. You know, there's a lot of mental health entities around town. But I think it just starts with taking that first step and saying that I need some help.
Well, anything else you want to share?
You know what? I want to give a shout out to the guys that showed up last Saturday. Everybody that was there, including you know, Judge Pittman. He has some great things to say about me. You know, I don't know if most people don't know, but I coached football at Muskegon High School, and I coached his son, Jared, when he was a sophomore. Wow. And he had a lot of, you know, just to see Jared come, you know, it was full circle for me because he mentioned how, you know, I showed him grace and was welcoming with him. And he's now disseminating that to other young men and mentoring and doing an excellent job. So I just want to give a shout out to them. And like I said, everybody else that was vulnerable, that, you know, that shared things that was heavy on them. You know, it was, like I said, it was some tears shed. Wow. It was really powerful. Again, I know I've mentioned this before. I'm still trying to digest it and wrap my mind around it, what actually happened in their room. And this won't be the last one based on the overwhelming support I've received from this event. So I will definitely connect with you once we get, you know, because it's only up from here. So
getting chills just looking at the image right there. Getting chills. I've looked at everybody.
Yeah.
This was on what day of the week? That was on Saturday?
Yep. It was Saturday. Yep. Saturday night.
Wow, man. That's amazing. That is amazing. Please continue to do so. We need help, man. If that's one thing as a black man that's been pretty decent successful, there's a problem I can say I've seen in our community. And I studied psychology in college. I worked in a man's prison, worked in a female's prison. If there's an issue, I think it's the mental health issue that we need to deal with to get help, you know, talk about things. I don't know. You probably know this, that men who are molested or raped by other men and women who are molested and raped by other women rarely disclose that those events have happened.
Yes.
Yep. But it impacts them in life, don't it?
Yep. They just hold it in. You become combustible at that point, right? Like you just holding it in. And at some point that, you know, that has to come out, right? If you think about a Sprite bottle, right, you're shaking it up. At some point that has to be released. You know, someone at the event mentioned that when you're driving, your check engine light comes on, right? What do? You go get it checked out. Oh man, something ain't right. It's the same thing with your mental health.
Wow. Well, definitely let me know the next time. You did an awesome job at the grassroots, though. The place was packed, you know. And of course, you David Davis Jr., bro. They're going to come out for you. They're going to pull up.
I appreciate that, man. I definitely do. 100%. I appreciate everything that you do, too, man. You know, I've always admired you and the work that you do. So I just want to shout you out, too.
Thank you. I'm your reflection, brother. We're from the same neighborhood.
Yes, sir.
All right. But thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you. We'll be in contact, okay?
For sure. God bless you.
All right. I'm just kidding. That was David Davis' magnificent event he had over the weekend. We are going back to more music on radio, 103.7 The Beat.